Again, this call is being recorded. If you do not wish to be recorded, you may disconnect at any time. If you would like to speak, you can virtually raise your hand by pressing five star on your dial pad. You will then be called upon in that order that your hand was raised. Please take a moment to enter your speaker code if you've not already done so. Please remember to mute your phone until speaking. That will help reduce background noise and make sure everybody can be heard. So please mute your phones until you are speaking. Good afternoon and welcome to a duly noticed meeting for the Stakeholder Advisory Board to the Governor's Office of Emergency Relief and Recovery. The creation of the Governor's Office for Emergency Relief and Recovery occurred when Governor Sununu issued Executive Order 2020-06. That order is publicly available on the Governor's website. Today's meeting is an official meeting of the Board, is open to the public, and will be run in a manner compliant with RSA 91A. We have someone on the phone taking minutes, which will be posted to the Gopher webpage. Again, today's meeting is also being recorded. I will help facilitate this meeting, and after a few more housekeeping items, pass it over to our chair, Donnelly Lozo. Because the board meeting is by phone under RSA 91A, there are a few initial logistics that we need to run before I turn it over to Chair Donnelly Lozo. First, each of us must state our names, where we are located, and who is with us. For roll calls, we'll go alphabetically, but for this situation, we will go alphabetically after I start, and please follow the format. I am Joe Dorian, Deputy Director of the Gopher in the Gopher office, One Eagle Square in Concord. With me is Lisa English and Rhonda Hensley, staff from Gopher. Now going alphabetically by Stakeholder Advisory Board members, Bill Ardinger.
Thank you, Joe. This is Bill Ardinger. I'm at my home. I'm alone in my home office. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Dean Kristen.
Good afternoon. This is Dean Kristen, New Hampshire Housing. I am at the Office of the Authority in Bedford, and I am alone.
Thank you, Dean. Jim Jalbert.
Hi, Joe. This is Jim Jalbert. I am at my office in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and I am alone.
Thank you, Jim. Al Letizio, Jr.
This is Al Letizio, Jr. I am at my home office in Windham, New Hampshire. Good afternoon, everyone.
Thank you, Al. Donnelly Lozo.
This is Donnelly Lozo from Southern New Hampshire Services, and I am alone in my office in Manchester.
Thank you, Donnelly. Scott Mason.
This is Scott Mason. I am at my farm in North Stratford, New Hampshire, alone in the farm office.
Thank you, Scott. Michelle McEwen.
Hi, good afternoon. I am in my office at Spear Memorial Hospital in Plymouth.
Thank you, Michelle. Nancy Merrill.
Hi, this is Nancy Merrill, and I'm at my office in Claremont, and I am alone.
Thank you, Nancy. Kathleen Reardon.
Hi, this is Kathleen Reardon, New Hampshire Center for Nonprofits. I am in my home in New Boston. My husband's in the house, but in another room.
Thank you, Kathleen. Benjamin Wilcox.
This is Ben Wilcox. I'm in my home, and I'm by myself here.
Thank you, Benjamin. Very good. That concludes the roll call. And again, as we move through our agenda today, each board member and anyone else speaking is asked to identify themselves before speaking. Should you choose to take any votes today, they must be done by roll call, and we'll go alphabetically. So with that, I would like to turn it over to Chair Donnelly Lozo to begin today's agenda.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it. And I do recognize for all of us on this call that the meeting format is certainly a challenge, difficult not to see each other's body language, hard to raise your hand in any manner at all, even though, thank you, Joe, you and the team have made it easier. So based on our conversations that we had at our first meeting, one of the first things on the agenda to discuss is planning the process by which we'll move forward. And so looking at that first item of the meeting time frame, it seems to me that the majority of our work is really going to be out in our community. So each of the board members, in essence, is going to be out there as ambassadors, so to speak, gathering information in written format that can be shared with the committee and then given to the staff at Gover to help inform their work. While I mentioned that it is not easy to do this by way of conference call, it's not lost on me that I know that many of us in the back of our heads are saying, well, we're a small enough group that we could probably manage a video conference. And I would agree that that would be a preferred method. But I have asked Joe to work with the folks he's working with to determine whether or not that's something that we can do that would allow us to still have our meetings, allow the public to still hear and get the information and be recorded as required. So they're going to work on that, and hopefully we'll have some answers later this week or early next week on whether we can do it that way. As far as timing, if most of our work is, as I think we all understand, kind of out there gathering information from our various networks, it would seem to me that if we could manage to keep our meetings around 2 hours, that might help to maximize our time to get out there and get the information that we need. So that's my goal. If anybody has a different suggestion on that, now's a good time to raise your hand. Joe, any hands?
No hands thus far, but just as a reminder, 5-star on your dial pad to raise your hand.
Okay, so I'm guessing we're all thinking that that's... Did I hear somebody? Okay, so I'm guessing we all think that that makes sense, and we'll work towards that. Doesn't mean that it can't change depending on our agenda for a meeting, but I think it gives us kind of a time frame moving forward. As far as receiving input and what type of input we'll receive, I think written input is the best to be able to put it as part of the public record. And even when people present to us verbally, it would be nice to have their written information in advance. And at some point, we're hoping that the website might have the ability to have the questions that we'd like to ask be posted in a way that people could respond online and send it in so that we can have as much information as we can have. Would anybody like to add anything to that point? Okay. The next item on the
agenda. Donnelly. Oh,
yes.
I'm sorry. We have a question from Bill Ardinger. Bill,
great.
Go ahead.
Oh, Bill, I skipped over your part.
Thank you, Joe, and thank you, Donnelly, for leading us through this kind of challenging technical process. I was looking at the agenda, Donna Lee, and you and I had spoken about item two, and just wanted to make sure we didn't miss that. That's my whole comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. That actually was an inadvertent miss on my part, so thanks for catching it. One of the things that that I wanted to start today's meeting with, had I caught number two on the script, was to have a better sense of what our purpose is as a stakeholder advisory group. I think if all of us understand what that is, it will help inform the way that we do our work. And I think it is somewhat confusing to people about what the Gopher group is versus the legislative group versus the stakeholder advisory board and how we work together. So as Bill mentioned, I did ask him if he would please lead the discussion on the purpose of our advisory board. So thanks, Bill. I'll leave it to you.
Thank you very much. And again, really appreciate everybody trying to
slug through this difficult meeting structure. And thanks to the Gopher staff for setting this call up. Donald Lee, after she was selected as chair, was focused very much on trying to get a process in place that would elect this Stakeholder Advisory Board, or SAB, do its work. And that kind of raised the question, well, what is the work of the SAB? And in order to just quickly summarize that and provide some guidelines, we start with the executive order that Joe mentioned at the beginning, the governor's executive order 2020-06. And that order described what our job is, which is, and I'm going to quote it, it is that our group, the SAB, shall work with the director, that's Director Little, the staff of Gopher, folks like Joe and Lisa, and the Legislative Advisory Board to develop recommendations for the allocation and expenditure of the CARES Act Emergency Relief Funds or other federal COVID-19 relief and recovery funds received by the state. Important in that is kind of what we do and what we don't do. And to start with what we do, we are really set up as an advisory, as our name indicates, an advisory board. Who do we advise? Well, here are the governance entities that we're engaged with. First and foremost is the governor, who created this group through his executive order. Second is the Gopher, the governor's office that has been established as a part of his office, the governor's office, and it's his staff. These folks are working for the state. They're working in the governor's office, and we are directed to work with them on aspects of this engagement. A third group that's identified is the Legislative Advisory Board. They are also established pursuant to the executive order and have a similar mission of providing recommendations for the proper use of these important federal funds. And then finally, it's important to note that there's another governance entity that at some point will be involved and engaged, which is the Fiscal Committee. It is unclear right now, and there is some legal discussion going on about what the immediate role of the Fiscal Committee is with respect to this governor's effort to be prompt with this money. But that will be worked out shortly, and we will obviously, when we learn whatever happens from that legal process, we can address it in future meetings. So what do we do with those groups, those parties? Our job is to develop, as Donald Lee said, develop a base of knowledge regarding the sources of funds that the state are going to receive to work with. We also need to develop a base of knowledge on possible uses of those funds. I think part of what Donnelly is addressing with the meeting planning process is that we need to provide a forum for information sharing and recording, presentations that may be made by interested parties, people who have ideas on how federal funds should be used. We need to engage with the Gopher team, the director and staff, and the legislative board. I think that Donna Lee will likely develop, and because of her background and experience with the legislature, I'm sure she'll develop an active line of communication, an open line of communication with the legislative board members, and provide good advice to this group about how we can better work together and avoid duplication. Finally, at the end of all of that, we will have the knowledge, hopefully, sufficient to make executive decisions of our own as a board about what we should recommend regarding uses of funds, federal monies, to the gopher and to the governor. That's what our job is. It is not to make decisions about who should get money and who shouldn't. We don't have that authority legally. What we've got is the authority under the order to advise the team at Gopher and to advise the governor on ideas for how these monies can be expended in a way that serves the best interests of citizens of New Hampshire, its economy, and the long-term interests of the state. I guess one other thing I think I would note that is important for us, we are a public body, as Joe mentioned. That means we have a special obligation to make a public record of our proceedings, of our work activities, including any recommendations that we ultimately may make. We need to help Gopher make a transparent and open public record of all of our activities, and we got to do it in a way that will allow people in the future, whether from the federal government, from the state, from the media, every part of our state's process, to review the work that we've done, to be able to examine it. And we have to, in our activities, know that that is our special obligation and make sure that we take some care not to do things like not reply to all on email. We have to try and conduct our discussions in the sunshine, consistent with the right to know law, so that the public can review our work. The last thing I'd like to say, what we don't have an obligation to do, we don't have any authority to actually make expenditures or authorize expenditures of these monies. We can make recommendations to the governor, who will have the power within the government structure of the state to make these decisions. We don't have a staff, and we don't have a power or budget to hire a staff. We're really going to rely to a great extent on working with the Gopher team. And we have to respect that that team is doing a lot of work. I assume that what we can do, Donnelly, as we conclude this, is talk about how we, as members of the SAB, make sure that we work through you so that we don't overwhelm the Gopher team because we don't have a staff. There will be times where we want to send an email and say, hey, can you help me out here? I'm trying to understand this. But we have to be very careful about how we do our communications so that all of us are working together and we're not overwhelming any part of it. Donnelly, that concludes what I thought I would provide about this. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill, and thanks for catching it before we got too far into the agenda. Does anybody have questions for Bill about what he just explained regarding our purpose?
And Donnelly, just to help facilitate, if folks would like to virtually raise their hand by pressing 5-star on their dial pad.
Okay. Good job, Bill.
Donnelly, we have a question from Dean Kristen.
Thank you. It's not really a question. It's not really a question around what Bill spoke to, which I thought was great. At some point, I assume we're going to learn a little more about what the federal guidance has been and is coming forth about regarding what these resources can be used for, because obviously we can collect lots of information and think about lots of potential uses, but we need to make sure that they conform to what the federal requirements are.
Yes, the answer is yes, we will get more information, and I think that will be part of the presentation from the Gopher staff at Thursday's meeting.
Thank you.
And Donna Lee, if this is Joe Dorian here at the Gopher office, wanted to just offer just some information. So on Thursday, we're going to present some on different federal funding that is out there that's not relative to that doesn't fall under the scope, I should say, of the board, but just for a knowledge base for members. For everyone to understand what's out there, and understanding that's a very fluid situation with more being added every day. But we expect to get guidance from the federal government with regards to this grouping of money by Friday. That is our hope. We hope that it comes sooner. And when we get that guidance, we certainly want to share it with the advisory board quickly.
I'm guessing that answers your question, Dean. Thank you. And I think we do understand that we're not responsible for getting the money out, but understanding the scope is very helpful on both counts, Joe. Thank you. So moving into where I was headed, the follow-up from our last meeting, as Bill mentioned, we do not want to conduct business through email. We don't want to be replying all, being in circumstances like that. But sending you information for preparation of the meeting, getting the agenda to you is something that I will do. Any of you are welcome to send me an email for clarifying questions or thoughts that you have or things you'd like to see discussed on the agenda, and I'm happy to respond and make that happen. Having said that, in preparation for today's meeting, everybody received both the agenda and then a list of a draft of 10 questions based on our last meeting. And the idea from that would be that we ask a consistent list of questions for everybody so that everybody is responding to the same questions. It doesn't prevent people from providing more information, but it certainly provides a framework where we're getting at least answers to the same questions. That list of draft questions went out to you in that email, and because it is not posted anywhere, I'm going to ask Joe to read the list of questions so that the folks that are listening in that are outside of the committee membership can hear what those questions are. And when we complete our conversation on the questions and we tweak them or not, those will be posted as part of our minutes so that everybody can see them. I don't want anybody feeling like they have to furiously write down all of these questions and their subparts, so to speak. So with that, Joe, why don't you do that? And then for the committee members, what we'll do is once Joe has read off the list of questions, we'll go back, and anybody that wants input on any of the questions, we can recognize you one at a time for your input on each of the questions. So thank you. Joe, do you mind reading those out loud?
Absolutely. Again, Joe Dorian here in the Gopher office, and for those who might have joined, just reminding that this is a duly noticed meeting of the Stakeholder Advisory Board, pursuant to RSA 91A, and this meeting is being recorded. So here are the draft questions, and I'll go through them. There are 10. Question one, please identify your position and your organization. Question two, please identify what economic sector your enterprise operates within. Question number three, please describe how your enterprise and economic sector has been impacted by COVID-19. Question number four, please provide an assessment of how you project your organization and economic sector will be impacted over the next 12 months by COVID-19. Question number five, please explain whether your enterprise or economic sector has or is receiving or may possibly receive in the future any other governmental support specifically intended to help address COVID-19 impacts. Question number six, this question does have multiple parts. Please bear with me. Please provide comments on one or more ideas on how some portion of public relief funds could be provided to your enterprise and economic sector. And please comment on how these ideas would achieve the following important public goals. And lettering through A through H, so this is 6A, the proposed use of funds will serve a public use and provide a public benefit. 6B, the proposed use of funds will preserve or increase the social welfare or economic prosperity of the state and will promote the general welfare of the state's citizens. 6C, the proposed use of funds will promote the orderly development of economic and social activities create or preserve employment opportunities, or protect the physical environment. 6E, the proposed use of funds will contribute significantly to the continued operation, competitiveness, and future success of the organization in the economic sector. 6F, the proposed use of funds is not in conflict with local or regional development plans and policies. 6G, the proposed use of funds is structured in a way that will help the community and the state at large and not just a particular private business or organization. 6H, the proposed use of funds is consistent with the one-time availability of the public relief funds. It will not require future continuing operational support from the public sector in order to maintain success. Question 7. Please describe how the receipt and use of the public relief funds described in question 6 would be accounted for in your organization's financial statements. Question number 8. Please describe specific measures for public reporting on the receipt and use of public relief funds so that the state may satisfy any public reporting obligations that may be imposed with respect to such funds. Question number 9. Please identify other important organizations or functions in the state that have an important impact on your organization or economic sector, and if possible, provide ideas of how those organizations and functions may be assisted by public relief funds in a manner that would help your organization or economic sector. Question number 10. We consistently hear different stories of what is occurring and what is needed. Given the opportunity, please comment on what you think should be said or considered that hasn't received much attention. And Donnelly, those are the questions 1 through 10.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. And thank you to those of you on the committee that shared thoughts about questions that should be asked and samples of questions that other organizations had asked people related to the current state of affairs. So if anybody would like to raise their hand and weigh in on any of these questions, we are open to hear your thoughts.
And to raise your hand, again, 5-star.
I will take a
Yep. Oh, Donnelly, we have a question from Scott Mason.
Thank you. Hi, Scott.
Hi. Question 6F, why is that not just, you know, any state law? Well, why are we elevating the zoning ordinances only?
Why?
I think it should read the proposed use of funds is not in conflict with any local or state law.
Okay. I think maybe part of it was the discussion around some of the master plans that are developed, and sometimes they're developed regionally. But I don't see any issue adding state in.
Yeah, because
I get it.
Okay. One other a new question. What would your business, agency, organization, or sector do with funds provided that can't be done now?
Are you proposing that as an additional question?
Yeah.
Okay, can you repeat it?
What would your business, agency, organization, or sector do with funds provided that can't be done now?
Okay. We'll hold that. I want people to be able to comment on it too, Scott. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Anything else, Scott?
Nope.
Okay.
Scott,
so
excuse me, Donna Lee and Scott, I apologize, but we just want to take good note. Scott, would you mind repeating your question one more time for us, please? Our apologies.
Nope. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. What would your business, agency, organization, sector, do with funds provided that can't be done currently?
Okay. I think we have it. Do we have it, Joe?
We do. And then, Donnelly, we have a question from Kathleen.
Thank you. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Donnelly. So my question relates to a little bit of the wording as it relates to the charge of this committee. On question 6, 7, and 8, it really reads a lot as if it's an application for funds, which understandably, ultimately, there will be a mechanism for funds to be distributed. But I'm wondering if, because this charge is to make recommendations and not decide who gets funding, if we think a little bit about slight tweaks to that. For example, in the section 6A, even just saying instead of the proposed use of funds, just saying the funds will serve as, and that continues through all of the A through H. And similarly, please describe how, on question 7, please describe how public relief funds could be accounted for, et cetera. I think, you know, I do think that it's likely, that was just my thought.
Okay. I appreciate that. I mean, some of the design of these questions, of course, are to help people think in like a transitional way. So I equate it to, you know, right now there's a crisis. How do we stop that? How do we, you know, manage where we are today? But then, okay, so the trauma is abating. Now we need to go into recovery, you know, PT, if you will. You know, do you need crutches? Do you need a wheelchair? You know, do you need a walker? So what might that look like for you? And then the remainder is, and what does the future look like? How does this change the dynamic? How might this help if we're faced with something like this again, you know, for business continuity or delivery of service, depending on, you know, what your industry is? But I understand your point. We don't want to give people the impression that this is their application for this. So I appreciate that. Thank you. Are there other comments? Yep.
We have a hand raised by Dean Kristen.
Thank you. Hi, Dean.
Hi, Donnelly. Thank you. So my comment is less of a question, more of a comment, and it really does sort of flow sort of in the same direction as Kathleen's. It feels to me that if the goal here is to cast a fairly broad net and to get information about the impact of this emergency and some of the things that we might want to be addressing with the resources that are available or recommending be addressed, that we may not be able to ask for the level of specificity that some of these questions seem to go to, that some of the people that might be responding to us would be able to provide that level of specificity and some might not. And it kind of goes to Kathleen's point about how some parts of it feel almost like a direct application for funds. In other cases, we may be trying to simply generate information about what those impacts are and what the potential solutions might be. And so I don't have a lot of specific, you know, case-by-case edits as much as to suggest that perhaps we look at it or we ask the staff to look at it as can we make sure that we're not making it so daunting for people to respond to that we deter some of those folks that might be good sources of information but aren't ready yet to actually, as Kathleen put it, apply for specific funding. And I don't know if that's helpful or not, but a thought.
No, I think it does help, and I think that a lot of this work is going to have to be how the committee members talk to the people that they're seeking information from. Not everybody is going to feel comfortable or even knows the answers to think this far ahead in some instances or to understand some of the nuts and bolts. So the response of, let's say, Mike Summers from the Restaurant Lodging Group might be very different than Dean's Diner on Main Street, who we want to hear from, too. So it's a point well taken. And we also want to make sure people understand this is not a test. There are no right or wrong answers. So I appreciate that. Thank you. Joe, anybody else?
Donnelly, we have a hand raised by Michelle McEwen.
Thank you. Michelle?
Hi, yes. Just a couple general questions. In question number 5, we're asking specifically about funds that they are receiving or may receive in the future. And, you know, I honestly am not that familiar with all the different sectors, but I'd rather know what is available. Perhaps they didn't qualify, they didn't pursue particular funding, but I'd really like to be able to say what is available. And maybe we'll learn this on Thursday when the Gopher office gives us some education. But if they could relate it in that way, here's what we're facing because of this situation. Here's the funding that is made available, whether they pursued it or not. The other one is somewhat similar to what we've heard before, is if an economic sector or a particular organization was to receive funding, I'd really like to know how they're going to use those funds to sort of build resiliency for future economic hardships. You know, whether it's restaurants gearing for takeout if they hadn't done that before, employers gearing up for remote work by their employees, those types of things, because that can help us prevent future situations where we're looking for future funding if they haven't been able to build that resiliency. And then my third question is really in regards to, as we collect all this information, how we create any kind of a priority. I'd be nice to know how large these various sectors are in regards to its impact on the economy of the state as well as the lives of the residents that are here in New Hampshire. So those are my comments.
Well, I appreciate the comments, and it does make sense. There are organizations, of course, that we've all heard of that have applied for different funding from different areas that have not received funding, whether it's because there wasn't enough money or they didn't qualify for whatever reason. So that is certainly probably worth knowing. As far as the last point that you made, I think that there's going to be a few things that happen. One, we're not going to set priorities. The Gopher group, is likely to do that with input from, you know, all the different folks involved. But I think some of the priorities are just going to be naturally laid out for us based on what the groups are that, what the industries are that funding is available to. You know what I mean? And how do we make sure we get enough information that if it says small business, we get information from a nice cross sector of small business, because what the, you know, barbershop is dealing with might be very different than the sole proprietor dental office, you know, type of thing. So I think that that's a good point, too, and I think we're going to learn more as we go. Joe, I don't know if you want to weigh in on that or if somebody else has a hand up that wants to weigh in as well. That'd be great.
So we have, I don't know if it's on this topic, but we have Bill Ardinger with a hand up. And, again, if anybody else would like to raise their hand, it's 5-star. Go ahead, Bill.
Thank you, Joe. And I think these are great comments. And I really appreciate Donna Lee taking the step of trying to put something in front of us to talk about. Having the example is really helpful rather than kind of starting from a whiteboard. So I appreciate it. One of the comments that I think Kathleen made is, hey, this stuff looks kind of specific, and it might not be that everyone who wants to provide information to us really is comfortable, or they might be intimidated by this. I think that, the way I think about that is the task before the state, at least with the COVID relief funds, is daunting.
The $1.25 billion that has been allocated, and I believe as of today, received in a state account, has got to be deployed in some way or another, subject to the guidance that's coming out of Treasury, hopefully by Friday, that it's got to be deployed by 12/31, the end of this calendar year. Our total budget in the state of New Hampshire, General Fund and Education Trust Fund, is about a little over $2 billion. That goes through a long process every 2 years that our state agency team members know. It just goes on, and it's very detailed. We need, in order to make recommendations that are useful to the gopher and the governor, we have to encourage people who present to us in from all walks of life, from every level, whether it's a nonprofit organization, whether it's a small business person, whether it's an association head, whether it's a larger organization, whether it's a state agency. We have to try and encourage them to think about the things that are necessarily going to be involved in fundamentally making these decisions. And those are the kind of things I believe, the way I read it, are listed here. It's important that we provide these as a type of guidelines to people. This is the kind of stuff that is going to be taken into account in order to make final decisions. Now, I think that sometimes we got to make sure that however we request information, that people know that they don't have to answer every one of these questions. They know expressly they don't have to be intimidated by this. However, they need to know that this kind of public consideration set that's here, you know, and actually trying to quantify the amount of resources that may be necessary in their particular area, they've got to help the process. And these guidelines are designed to do that. And I think it's important that we ask people to think about this, even if they come to a thing and they say, I don't know how this is going to be accounted. I haven't thought about reporting issues, you know. I think that we've seen over on the Legislative Advisory Board, if any of you have, and I know from talking to some of you that you have, sat in and listened in on their meetings, those presentations are going for a very long time, and they need to, in my view, get a focus pretty quickly on actual executable ideas. And so I fully support pressing our the folks that come before this group to help us and to bring their knowledge base to the table in a way that lets us perform our task, which Dean Kristen includes as a recommendation, saying, here's an area that may need help, but it would be great if we could go further and say, you should consider using the funds in this way that the CFO of this organization suggested. It seems like a good idea, so that, you know, we help the Gopher team tighten up their recommendations to the governor. I think that the comments for improvements that have been made so far, like Scott's question, make a lot of sense, and I support it. So thank you for letting me chime in.
Thanks, Bill. Much appreciated. I think the framework is important, and keeping in mind the timeline that we're faced with, as Bill described, you know, is one of the reasons that we're trying to have a process that we can all understand and know what to expect, including the people that we're going to ask for information. If we set the table for them to know what to expect, I think the end result will be much better. And it's hard, you know, in this format, when we can't see each other, and some of us know each other and some of us don't, you know, this is a really incredible group of people with just such a deep level of connection in the community in so many different ways to get you out there and gathering this information, I think is going to provide the most valuable resources that we can bring to the table. Further discussion on the list of the now 11 questions with some tweaks.
Dunley, we have a hand raised from Al Letizio Jr.
Thank you. Al?
Hey, Donnelly. Hi, everyone. I really like this list that came out. I thought it was a great way to integrate the ideas from all of the members of the board and put it together quickly and concisely. I would like to make two points here. One is that I agree with what Bill said, and I was writing down some language myself that I thought might be appropriate as directions for somebody answering this. And that rather than just present someone with this list of questions, that we might provide some directions that would say something like answer as many questions that can best provide us a picture of your entity and its needs related to COVID-19.
Like an introductory paragraph on what this is about.
Yes.
Why we want it.
That,
okay.
Right. And in doing that, we're saying answer as many questions as you can that best provide us with a picture of your entity and its needs related to COVID-19. It really just conveys exactly what we're trying to do. We're not trying to get a 20-page response on this that somebody's trying to do, and we don't want everyone to feel like they've got to respond to every question because some may not apply. We're just trying to get a sense from what they're all about, how they're affected. So if we can clarify that in directions, I would suggest that we add something brief like that to the beginning. And then my second point relating to Scott's suggestion for a question 11 is something very similar to what I was going to add after the fact, thinking about this list and looking through it. And I wonder if Scott could respond to this idea. I wrote down the question that Scott had suggested, and what I was thinking was something that I think is pretty close to that, but maybe phrased a little bit differently. I just don't want to take for granted that we're on the same idea here, but my thought was to explain why this funding would solve a need that is not being solved in other sources of funding.
Scott, do you want to respond?
Could you just repeat that one time, please?
Sure. Explain why this funding would solve a need that is not solved in other sources of funding.
It's slightly different, but that I don't have a problem with your verbiage. What I was trying to get across is you know, what possibilities would your organization do with this money that it's unable to do today?
So what can the organization do that it can't do now is what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, with these provided funds.
What I was trying to get at is I just wanted to make sure that not saying that somebody would be double dipping on something, but I think we have accountability to make sure that someone is not applying for something that the need is being solved through the PPP program or through some other source of funding.
What about amending 5?
So that question again reads, please explain whether your enterprise or economic sector has or is receiving or may possibly receive in the future any other governmental support specifically intended to help address COVID-19 impacts. So what you're saying, Scott, is that might get to the crux of Al's question.
Yeah, or Al may want to try use.
Or that's the one to tweak.
That might be the one to tweak with Al's suggestion.
And I agree with that now that I hear your explanation of 11, Scott. So I would be okay then with the inclusion of 11 and maybe having staff integrate somehow five to the comment of just getting to the specific point that making sure that that this funding would not be providing something that is redundant or being solved by some other source of funding.
Right. Okay, thank you. All right, would anybody else like to weigh in? You know, it seems to me that these questions might prompt us to, at some point, raise new questions that we may want to ask, or based on responses, they might provide questions that naturally beg to be answered. At the same time, the point made earlier in Al's comments about providing some directions, I think, is a very good one. I also think gives us an opportunity to maybe put some kind of word limitation on each section so we don't end up with a 60-page legally bound report when really what we're looking for is get to the point, give us the information. So maybe we'll give some thought to some direction on that. Joe, did I hear somebody else?
Donna Lee, we have Michelle with her hand up.
Thank you. Michelle?
I didn't raise my hand.
Ruh-roh.
Oh, sorry. Uh-oh. So we have a hand up from Jim.
All right.
Hi,
Jim.
Hi, Donna Lee. Real quickly. I think as we move along in the process and start to, and we get these questions out to people, there's going to be some ongoing revisions, right? Because we're going to learn some things and we're going to be able to articulate it better and sort of dive in to a greater degree with the questions. I think Al's point about perhaps it's got to be when applicable or if applicable, answer the questions, a great idea. And finally, I think that as we start to see proposals, it'll help the review process. I think we'll do a better job as they start to roll in. So wanted to be brief. That's all I have.
Thank you, Jim. Anybody else?
And again, to raise your hand, 5-star.
Okay, great.
We don't have any hands raised on
one. Okay, all right, great, thank you. I'll try to wait a reasonable amount of time to see if something occurs to folks that they can weigh in on. So it sounds to me like overall we did a great first pass on getting a starting point for the process to begin to get information on. And so we'll look at this and tweak accordingly and then get it back out to folks. Doesn't look like anything needs a lot of work, so I would guess that we're probably okay to try to move forward the way I've just described. Okay. I mean, we can do roll call votes on some of these things, but I also think that we can probably operate under consensus unless there's controversy over something or another. But I guess we'll see as that plays out. But for now, my sense is everybody's on board with the questions, as I've just described, with some tweakings, an introductory paragraph, and a little bit of guidance for the folks we're going to ask to answer them.
Donna Lee, out of an abundance of caution, could we take a roll call vote on the questions just out of an overabundance of caution?
Of course we could. I would imagine that there's somebody out there that's willing to make a motion to adopt the 11 questions as proposed with the tweaking that we've all just discussed. Is there a motion to that effect?
Donna Lee, this is Bill Ardinger. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Bill. And I heard a second.
Second from Jim Jalbert.
Moved and seconded. Further discussion? Give it 30 seconds. Further discussion? Okay. Joe, you want to call the roll?
Donna Lee?
Yes?
Yes. We have Al Letizio, Jr. with a hand up.
Okay, so further discussion. Al?
Actually, I just raised my hand to make a motion. So,
okay,
rather
great.
Than speak
well,
out.
You.
So that's, yeah, that was it. It was done.
Great. Thank you so much. Okay. Seeing no further discussion, Joe, would you call the roll?
Absolutely. I'll be doing a roll call alphabetically. Bill Ardinger.
Yes, this is Bill. I would vote yes. Thank you.
Dean Kristen.
Yes.
Jim Jalbert.
Yes.
Al Letizio Jr.
Yes.
Donnelly Lozo.
Yes.
Scott Mason.
Yes.
Michelle McEwen.
Yes.
Nancy Merrill.
Yes.
Kathleen Reardon.
Yes.
Benjamin Wilcox.
Yes.
Donnelly, that concludes the roll call, and it is unanimous.
Great. Thank you so much, Joe. Appreciate it. Thank you, everybody, for your suggestions. I think we've made our list much better. Okay. So what is your role in all of this? So as you can see on the agenda that we're looking at all of you having your networks. Now, there are the obvious ones, like take Scott Mason, agriculture comes to mind. Kathleen Reardon, nonprofits come to mind, of course. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to go through the list and get three names from each of you of folks that you would like to reach out to. And you would ask them two questions. One, would they be willing to respond to these 11 questions? And if asked, would they be willing to present verbally to the committee on these 10 questions? Now, the chance of us having someone who names the same folks may be something that would happen. So as we go through the list, if you had somebody on your list that somebody ahead of you has named, you can either replace that person because you've got a list of five going maybe, or you can get back to us with who you might add to the list. The purpose of this exercise is to just make sure we have a cross-section and we're not bothering the same people twice for the initial reach-out. But it also doesn't preclude you from reaching out to other organizations or that are in your sphere of network that may be similar. So let's just say if I reached out to Donnelly's Child Care and Kathleen reached out to them too, if they said, oh, Kathleen Reardon already called me, then we're good. They're already on the list. I think that that's kind of an easy thing to do, and reaching beyond your network, because we all wear multiple hats. We wear the obvious hats that people may see based on our names and our affiliations, but we also are all active in our communities in many different ways. So there are groups that I'm sure have come to your mind that you would like to reach out to. And the goal is, trying to get all of that information in as soon as possible. And our preference would be prior to somebody presenting verbally, so members of the committee could read their answers and be able to formulate questions to increase our understanding of the information that's being provided to us. I think that sounds like a plan. Does anybody want to do it differently? Or okay. So we'll go down the list. I'm going to have Joe skip me, and I'll I don't know yet who my three are going to be. I will admit that I did not do my homework. I was working on something else, but I'm sure we'll figure it out. So if you don't mind, Joe, can we go down the list and get three folks from each person, and then we'll come back and revisit an opportunity for the conversation about, you know, what the process might be for that if people have questions.
Absolutely. Real fast, Donnelly, we do have a hand raised from Al Letizio Jr. If you could ask a question
now. Of course. Al?
Hey, Donnelly, I don't want you to think I had too much coffee today, so I'm raising my hand all the time. Ben Wilcox and I had a little bit of conversation this morning as we were thinking that maybe we might be focusing on some of the similar sectors. And through that conversation, I came out with a couple of thoughts that I'd just like to bring forth now just to help me understand better what we're doing, and maybe I'll be helping others at the same time. As we looked at getting input from sectors out there, there are a number of organized sectors. I guess I would call them organized sectors. So as an example of organized sectors, I guess you could look at New Hampshire Lodging and Restaurant Group. So here's a sector that is well organized. It has lots of members, and they can speak collectively as a group and cogently to present. Hospital groups would be the same way. I know the ski areas have an association that could speak as a group. But then beyond those organized industries and sectors out there, there are what I would call non-organized industries out there. And they represent a significant number of small businesses in New Hampshire and entities who are gravely affected but don't have that organized collective voice. For example, the gym and fitness sector. For another example would be the hair and nail salon sector. Another would be the pet grooming sector. Another would be the child care sector. So as we're listening to or getting input, we can get input from organizations that have that are bound together and have representation, but I think we could be leaving out a whole bunch of these non-organized industries. And one of the things that Ben and I were discussing is that there is a mechanism in place right now at state level that we could potentially tap into and really gain some great grassroots information without going through the tedious hours of meetings that our brothers and sisters in the legislative group are going through. And that would be to tap into the New Hampshire Department of Business and Economic Affairs, Taylor Caswell. And the reason I say that is because in our state, we have regional and town economic development committees. And I know this well because I happen to serve on and chair our town economic development committee in Windham, New Hampshire. But throughout the state, we've got these groups, and these are the groups that are really at a grassroots level understanding what's going on in their communities and understanding all of these organizations, whether they're large or small. And right now, I think these economic development committees are wondering what they can do to help. And my thought is that if we could somehow tap into these local groups and have them funnel information up to the state agency, the New Hampshire Department of Business and Economic Affairs group, that we could collectively get some really good information that represents all sectors. You wouldn't have to belong to an organization. You wouldn't have to belong to a chamber of commerce and be a member of it. That you are represented by your local economic development committee through the town. So that would be a thought to me of reaching out in that direction. I know that's not as specific as giving you a name and an organization which I could do, but I'm just wondering what your thought is on that.
Well, I don't disagree, and I think, frankly, having been a restaurant owner, and with all due regard to the Restaurant Lodging Association, we were never a member of the group. You know, we had both large, small, and medium restaurants, because we had three of them, so there are also industries that, while they may have a fair amount of members, chambers of commerce, BFA, you know, as you said, regional groups, Nashua and Manchester both have economic development directors on staff. I mean, so there's a lot. I agree. There's a lot of that. I don't think one precludes the other. I think we want to hear from as many people as possible. I don't want to speak for Taylor's Commissioner Caswell's shot, pardon me, but I certainly can have a conversation with him about that. What I don't want to do is I don't want to overwhelm some of the state agencies that are already working in these efforts. And I do think that my expectation is not that people will name three major organizations that have lobbyists that are already at the state necessarily. They're going to name industries and look, you know, below. I mean, let's take, for example, that, you know, there's a university and college organization, but not all private colleges might be involved in that. So where and how this group reaches out and who we discover is missing that we want to reach out to, I think is equally important. What I'm trying to do is just get a start to what's on people's mind, who are those three. Like I said, they don't have to be somebody that everybody knows. They don't have to be the person in charge of the entire industry or the organization person. And, you know, frankly, at some point we may need to talk about some of the regional things because some of the challenges may be different in the North Country, as we often say, than they might be in, you know, the southern part of the state or the seacoast might have, you know. So I think we're going to have to try to learn from this first out of the gate ask and see what comes back. And then go back and say, okay, you know who we didn't get or you know who might have a different perspective. Because certainly everybody involved in every industry does not always agree on what they see as the problem or how they might be being served. So I think your point is a valid one. And I don't want anybody to think that the expectation was they would name three polished professionals that will necessarily speak to the committee. And I also want to recognize that our ask is a little bit different than the legislative group. We're very specific, as you can tell by, you know, our conversation around these 11 questions. So we may have somebody that has already testified there that might fill out our questions, but we may not ask them to come in and testify. We may ask somebody else within that network. So, and I also know that in Commissioner Caswell's shop is the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Board, which has the State Workforce Innovation Board, the SWIB, and they have a pretty significant cross-section of people representing different industries and sectors, too. So I think there are a lot more resources out there than most people could sit down and write about, but I think this is a good first start at it. And nothing precludes us from getting information from everybody that we're talking about. It's a matter of getting the information, attributing it to the source, putting it in the public record, and learning from what they provide. Would anybody else like to add to that? Bill, Joe, anybody that?
Donna Lee, we have a hand up from Bill Ardinger.
Thanks, Bill.
Hi, Donna Lee and Al. You know, obviously, I have way more coffee than you do. And so I'm always typing up. I did some thinking about this, and my three names briefly and the reasons would be first and foremost, James Key Wallace, who's the executive leader of the Business Finance Authority in New Hampshire. It's a state agency. They've run credit support programs. Their programs are, my firm has helped the BFM passed as a matter of disclosure. So I'm familiar with their programs. Their programs are intended to kick in when the capital markets and loan markets are failing. I know from talking to James that he's heard an awful lot from a lot of different areas. I would like to ask him to come testify because I think he could really help us start to get a real head start on what's going on out there in the business loan area. And BFA also does nonprofits a little bit. So that would be number one on my list. Number two, I think that I am certain that the New Hampshire Charitable Foundation has been receiving a lot of questions about how people can help. You know, they focus on the independent sector, the nonprofit sector a lot. I would like someone from the Charitable Foundation, where they do a lot of this thinking, I think we may get some good information from that. The final one, I am a lawyer member of our SAB group. I think it's important to think about from the legal profession, you know, folks that would have a real finger on the train tracks of what's going on out there. And I'd like to reach out to Sarah Matson-Dustin of the New Hampshire Legal Assistance Group. I think they're on the front lines of trying to help people who are, as we're reading about, most in need as the result of this. And those folks that they serve really may not have the ability to make their voice heard. And I think it would be interesting to hear how NHLA is thinking about this. They're, for example, on the front lines of programs like landlord-tenant legal issues, domestic violence issues, and, you know, and I would also say, boy, if it weren't for the fact that Dean is on the group and Donna Lee, I would have both of them come talk about their areas of specialty, as well as others on this group. So, Donnelly, that's my two cents, and thank you very much.
Bill, can you weigh in on the point that was just made about people in cross sections, the regional piece or anything? Did you want to comment on any of that?
I very much agree that some of the best people who may have information that's very useful to us will be those center networks for the industry, like restaurant and lodging. I will say, and I talked to Al about this just on an individual phone call, that, you know, the work that I think we're going to do as a SAB, this is me thinking about it, I really want to hear from the people on the ground who know, they say, look, here's the covenant that's failing in my debt instrument. This type of use of funds would really help me to continue through the summer cycle, get to the winter cycle, and be able to keep people employed. So, you know, maybe not the lead lobbyist. No disrespect to lobbyists, of which I am one for a number of folks. But maybe not the lead lobbyist, but I think many lead lobbyists would put forward their leading active business owner or their leading active member of their association. But the associations are great sources of information, like the Hospital Association, which I'm sure Michelle will talk about, and we should definitely take advantage of their information.
Okay, thanks. So I think we basically said the same thing. Does that answer the question, the point raised?
Yes, it does.
Okay, great. All right. So, yes.
Don Lee, sorry to interrupt, but we have a hand raised from Nancy Merrill.
Thanks, Nancy.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to follow up on that conversation. I think Business Finance Authority was also at the top of my list, but also regional development corporations. I'm happy to add them to my list because I think that they are important to the work that I do, and they're going to be very knowledgeable. So I think that's really important that we include
them. Okay, great. Great. Thank you.
Can I, Donnelly, this is Bill, just quickly. Nancy, could you really think about names? Because your point is dead on right, in my view. Those local regional development organizations are key. But, you know, I think you have to get those. We have to ask you to go pick out a couple of folks and get them to come forward and be agreed to. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay, does anybody else want to weigh in before we go down the list and get names? Okay. All right, so we started with Mr. Ardinger because he's got the alphabetical correct position to be the first guy. Joe, you want to go down the list?
Absolutely.
Thank
Dean, Dean Kristen.
Thank you. So let me say I agree with much of what I've heard, and I agree that some of the organizations that were mentioned are really good sources. I stayed sort of in my lane here in sort of the housing sector and thought about individuals who I thought could actually bring knowledge and sort of collate, if you will, the sense that they have from lots of other people that they engage with. So my list is Alyssa Margolin, who is the executive director of Housing Action New Hampshire, works with a broad range of organizations in the housing sector and has been particularly engaged of late with many of the homeless service providers who are dealing with people that are in really extreme need in this circumstance. Ken Viscarello, who is an attorney from Manchester, from Sheehan Finney, who does a lot of work with the development community and I think can bring the perspective of people that are trying to build or perhaps move forward housing development in this environment now and in the future. And then to get a sort of breadth of perspective there, Paul Stewart, who is a property manager, works on behalf of a number of others as well as his own properties, and I think can give us a sense of what's going on with actual residents living in those multifamily properties in the current environment. If I had more space, I could add some more people, and down the road I could think of perhaps bringing in some additional folks from some other elements of the housing sector, including the realtor community perhaps, but I'll stop there now with those three, at least for the time being. And I guess I will reiterate what some other people have said. I think Bill's point about folks from New Hampshire Legal Assistance and the Charitable Foundation and BFA are all really good ones because they have really good perspectives. And I do think those who have suggested we identify some key leaders from some of the regional economic development organizations and ask them to participate is also a very good idea.
Great. Thank you so much, Dean.
Jim Jalbert.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm going to touch on something in my lane and a couple of things outside of my lane. One is public transit in New Hampshire and specifically Coast over here on the seacoast and MTA over in Manchester. They are direct recipients of funds. There was some FTA money that came out to these respective organizations, but they are facing declining revenue, loss of municipal funding, loss of advertising-related revenue, and so they may not even come close to being made whole when this is all done. There are some gray areas about how FTA money went out, and some of it was retroactive to January, and some of it was didn't have any rules related to use of funds. But I think the state is probably going to do a really good job in managing distribution of funds, and I believe there'll be a shortfall. So to have them get involved, both MTA and Coast, and also Nashua, would be important. And then while I agree with the bigger organizations, Charitable Foundation and Restaurant and Lodging, I think it's also important to get individual organizations, and in the Seacoast, we've been heavily involved with Music Hall and have worked with them in Prescott Park and the Arts Festival. And so the impact to those organizations is significant. They approached us. We have said you should present, and there's going to be guidelines for that. And so I'm going to ask them to come up and speak to our group. And finally, Crossroads, which is a homeless shelter in Portsmouth, which has been devastated by this and has done amazing work in sheltering homeless people and giving them a fresh start, and the same with families. We were approached by them. And how I view this is that, yes, there are many organizations, economic development authorities in cities and towns and the chambers and all that. But I also think we have to have a cross-section of local individual organizations and groups, not only whether they need help, but if there's something for us to learn and how they get to the other side and what makes a difference in the funding process and what's their outlook in the new world or the new normal after we get through this. And I'll stop there.
Thanks, Jim.
You're welcome.
Al Letizio Jr.
Okay. I am going to do the same thing that Jim did, and I'm going to start out in my sector, which is the wholesale food industry, but then I'm also going to hit a couple of others as well. I've mentioned a couple times, and we've mentioned the New Hampshire Lodging and Restaurant Group, and I am not going to list them as a contact because I know they're already presenting. I believe they're presenting tomorrow to the legislative group, so we could all listen in to that if we wanted to or read the minutes from it. And I think we should probably, I hope we could avoid duplicating efforts with those guys. So I think it might be good, and I'm going to kind of focus down on a level where I can pick some individuals in individual industries who would be great to hear their perspective and have them be real-life examples of what is going on that they can speak for their industries. So the first person I'm going to ask is Joe Farrow, who's a restaurant owner and developer. Joe owns the Tuscan Brands and owns several restaurants in New Hampshire and is working on a major development here in Salem, New Hampshire. I think Joe is a person who can bring some great perspective, and it'll be great to hear what he has to say as to what his outlook is on how this is affecting the restaurant industry. The second person I'm going to ask is Donna Hazier. And Donna owns a company called the Learning Path Childcare Center. And I haven't heard of anybody speaking with anyone in the childcare industry, but I know that these folks have got some real challenges because they have a critical mass of a nut that they have to crack to be able to run their businesses. And what's happening with a lot of these folks right now is many people are not requiring these child care services, but the essential workers, hospital and first line people, still do need that service. So a lot of these child care places are staying open and staying going at incredible challenges to them to help support some of these essential industries. So I think it would be good to hear from Donna on that. And the third is the gym and fitness industry, and I think I might have spoken a little bit about that, but I think an underrepresented group, and there's an independent business person who I would like to invite to be a part of that, and that would be Melissa Marquis from the Infinite Fitness Group, and have her explain how her industry is being affected. So those are my three.
Thanks, Al. See how this is developing? This is a good plan. I'm liking this very much. Thank you. I think Scott's next, Joe.
Yes, Scott Mason.
I personally think it's a little unfair that business seems to be broken up into all kinds of smaller groups, and agriculture just has one group. So it's going to be a little hard for me to fit this into just three people.
Well, remember,
I would like to have a little bit more time for our groups to get a few more of them to come in and testify. But right now, I'm working with Farm Bureau, Farmers Union, and NOFA to work together as a group to have one. Each group will present their own written testimony, and one person will come in and give testimony for the group. We're also feeding into this at this point, Farm Credit, Extension Service, the New Hampshire Fair Association, and some other groups that are involved in agriculture in New Hampshire. If you want names, we'll probably have Rob Johnson as the person that will be speaking. I reached out into the New Hampshire fishing community, and I'm working with the Yankee Fishermen's Co-op, and Linda Hunt is the manager of that down in Seabrook, and I would like to give them an opportunity to come and speak, and then have Jason Stock from New Hampshire Timberland Owners talking about what's going on right now in logging and the timber world. In days gone by, I worked in the utility business, and I reached out to Eversource, Unitil, New Hampshire Co-op, and Liberty, and we're talking with them. What they're suggesting would be to do a unified presentation. All four will give written presentations, and Eversource will probably be providing a speaker to us.
In the North Country, I am just starting to reach out and talk with folks. We have several chambers. We also have the Co-op Economic Development group up here. We have, I guess it does cover a couple of the counties in northern New Hampshire, but NCIC, which is, it covers both New Hampshire and Vermont, but it does deal with at least two, I think three counties in the northern New Hampshire area. One of the other things, and I don't know how it fits in, whether it would be part of a North Country presentation or whether it would be part of another presentation, we have a lot of church-based, they do a lot of food banks, a lot of free meals, a lot of mental health counseling. And I would like to hear from some folks there, and I've been reaching out into those areas to get their suggestions on folks that might be able to speak. And then finally, I think it would be good to get the university system and the community college system to come in and talk to us about some of their needs. As we get started, we're going to be needing we're going to need to make sure that we have employees ready to jump and run, and I think those two organizations are people we need to speak to.
Okay, thank you, Scott. So as I will remind folks, the three are not meant to be all in, and what we want to be careful of is right now with 10 members on the committee, everybody picks three. That's 30 people. I don't know that we're going to have the luxury of time for 30 verbal presentations. I mean, we'll see how this unfolds and what the timing is. But there's no limit on who else you reach out to. And whether it's a same industry as each other, that's fine. You probably know different groups, different size groups, some groups that might struggle, some that may not. Hearing, again, cross-section of people in the same industry, I don't think is a problem. Promising everybody or asking everybody to come and present, that could present a challenge. So we want to be a little bit careful about that. And that's what this exercise was meant to do, was to look at, you know, who is coming in, get the information, and then for us to decide who do we want to have come in, and to also try not to duplicate the legislative testimony that might be happening. So just keeping that in mind. Next on the list, Joe?
Michelle McEwen.
Hi, thank you. I want to stay in my lane with my network as well, and I know, Donnelly, you had indicated you want to replicate what was at the Legislative Advisory Group, but the Hospital Association, I think, is key. They did testify yesterday, but it was really just on the impact. It didn't go through all the questions that we're looking at, which is beyond what's the initial impact. And because there's such a diversity in hospitals, between Colebrook being such a tiny hospital and then your larger hospitals like a Dartmouth or those in Nashua and Manchester, I think they're the ones that can best represent the entire group of hospitals. So I recommend Steve Onan. I think two other sectors within healthcare that we haven't heard from, and I don't think they're going to the Legislative Advisory Group, is mental health and substance use issues. So that I'd recommend Jay Kucher, who's from the Seacoast Mental Health, and then also home health agencies who are being dramatically affected right now as well, and Beth Slepian from Concord Regional's V&A group. I think on a regional basis, this is where I step out of my lane. I agree with everything I've heard. Is, you know, there's industry groups, but then there's other organizations that may not be represented. And would love to be able to reach out to Ann Duncan Cooley, who here is the director for the Grafton County Regional Development Corp here in Plymouth, although they cover the entire Grafton County.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Nancy Merrill.
Yes, I have a long list too, but I understand that some of this might just be letters and so forth. But I think BFA is on there. I'd like to talk to Liz Gray from SBDC, and I think get CDFA, Katie Easterly-Marty involved in this as well. And the regional development corporations, and any of the local development people too, I work with them all, so that's pretty easy. But on a smaller level, I would love to get something from Marianne Christensen at the Hannah Grimes Center and maybe Pam Sullivan up at Wren in Bethlehem. And I would love to hear from Alex Ray and Rusty McClear. So that's my list.
Thank you.
Kathleen Reardon.
So I think this was the advantage of being near the end of the alphabet because I've been taking notes. A lot of the representing the nonprofit sector, I've been thinking about the types of organizations, many of whom have been named already by other folks. So I'm going to try and focus now on some of the gaps. I'd like to invite a sort of a broad social service agency to present. I'm thinking Waypoint, Borja, his organization covers, Borja Alvarez de Toledo, covers a wide spectrum of social services, really very much on the forefront. I had mental health, but it looked like Michelle also had them. I'm thinking about a YMCA or a youth organization. Many of the YMCAs have childcare, but also have that perspective of having had to shut down their facilities. So I think a Y would be another perspective that would add in. I had the performing arts on my list as well, and it sounded like someone else did. So then it may be that a conservation group, which I have to give a little bit more thought to, may round things out. So I have, you know, a lot of different types of organizations I could add. I just wanted to really see where there may be some things missing.
Great. I agree. We're covering a lot of ground, so. But easy to pivot and get more.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, Joe,
great. We have Benjamin Wilcox.
Hi, thank you. One that was brought up a little earlier were the regional development corporations, and specifically I'm based here in North Conway, New Hampshire. I have been able to see the work of our local Mount Washington Valley Economic Council, which is a regional development corp, already in action. They've already got loans that they're executing right away. They've got 27 small business loans that actively they jump right down the pole to put together. And I've since learned that this has been a common occurrence throughout the entire state. And I am repeating, I think, a little bit of the comments that were made earlier, the benefits of having W as a last name as well. But I do think that when I look at our own community here in the Mount Washington Valley, the biggest impact right out of the blocks has been those small business loans in addition to the federal loans. And that's a real grassroots approach. So my contact here is Jack Cuddy with the Mount Washington Valley Economic Council. I also know there's an alliance of regional development corps that span the entire state that are doing very similar loans to small businesses. And it kind of goes back to those businesses that may be left behind, that aren't members of a chamber, that are in different areas. Some, you know, some are tourism in our neck of the woods, but some are not. So that was one that I wanted to put high on the list because I think it would have the most impact. The other unique group that I had a long conference call this morning with is our Mount Washington Valley Chamber of Commerce, which is a very tourism-based organization. But along with that, White Mountain Attractions, Ski New Hampshire, there's a collective group of tourism-related organizations from the Lakes region all the way up into the White Mountains that are really spending a lot of time on how are we going to gap the seasons here so we can get to summer, how can we adapt our businesses when the protocols come out. So That was a second group. It's a collection of a number of organizations, but it's a tourism-based focus group that I think is important to hear from. And it was also mentioned, I know, multiple times, New Hampshire Restaurant Lodging, and I had them on my list because they overlap not only our region, the White Mountains, but all of New Hampshire with restaurant and lodging. And just the impact to jobs, a lot of these businesses are just confused and not sure where to turn, but I think they're starting to zero in on what their priorities are going to be. So I put them as sort of a second group that's a collection of a couple of different organizations in my region and in my circles here. So I'd like to just add those to the list here.
That's great. Thank you. It seems to me that it's important for people not to feel limited on who they reach out to, but thoughtful about who they reach out to. You may get some responses back from folks that, based on an answer or a question they had about a question, you may think of a different person or a different group or somebody within that same industry, and by all means, reach out. What I'd like to do is give all the members of the committee the responsibility of reaching out to the ones that you've just described, plus others. I'd like the members of the committee to summarize the results that they're getting, still provide them in full, complete format to the committee for the public record and for the benefit of other members of the board, but to summarize for the sake of time what you're hearing. So let's say you reach out to your three or your four people that you've named here today, and then you're reaching out to maybe a dozen other groups, or somebody has reached out to you because they see that you're on the group. Get the information and then synthesize it, because you may find something that emerges or a trend that you see that we could benefit from knowing. I think this is a great start. All of you have, the names that everybody has mentioned or the organizations. And then my hope is that we'll talk a little bit more about this on Thursday and kind of where do we go from here, because the goal, as you can see that I put on the agenda, is to begin the input and presentations on Tuesday, which would mean those that we may ask to present on Tuesday, we would like their written testimony, you know, no later than Monday, again, so that the board members have an opportunity to read it and formulate questions they may have. Does that make sense to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
We probably want to decide sooner than later who's going to come Tuesday, just to give them as much time as possible to start preparing.
I would agree, but if they're starting right now by answering the questions, and if we ask them, if asked, would they be willing to verbally present, they will tell you that. Some people will, this is an easy task for them to prepare for, but my hope is on Thursday, we will know, we will discuss it and know who we're going to invite, what are we going to do about time frames of how they present so that we can stay on track, that sort of thing. So it would be helpful if all of you would think about it too, and then, if we can get a sense from everybody about who they'd really like to see present. And I understand the point that you made, Michelle, about, the Hospital Association did present to the legislative group, but, it wasn't as focused as these questions might be, and there might be information that we want to hear based on the questions that we're asking. I don't disagree. The difference will be that the clock won't be open-ended, and hopefully we'll all agree to what kind of timeline we're talking about. I mean, in my mind, I'm thinking if we gave each presenter, say, 15 minutes or so, and in that 15 minutes, if they could present on the questions within the first, 8 to 10 minutes, and then leave the rest of the time for questions from members, that would be helpful. And if somebody, so say on Thursday we decide hospital association is coming in, just for sake of an example here, and you get their testimony, Michelle, and you read it and it generates a question for you or something, you are welcome to reach back out to them and say, you know, I've read your questions, you know, thank you, you know, all that kind of stuff. But when I read your answer to 6G, it begged this question in my mind. Could you be prepared to talk about that? Because I'm going to ask that question when you present. Something like that is fine, too. So manage kind of the people that you're reaching out to in a way that their information is most meaningful to the group. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So may I ask a question? I didn't raise my
of
hand.
Of course. That's okay. Your mic is open.
As we collect the written testimony, whether it's somebody who's going to present or not, what do we do with it? Do we forward that over?
You can forward it directly
to
me, and I'll make sure that we get it in a place or a format that we can all access.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Donnelly, if I could jump in real fast, Joe Dorian here in the Gopher office with Lisa English. We're just chatting. We want to make sure that folks understand that if people are going to come before the committee and reference written testimony, we're going to need a staff, just some time to get that on the website prior so that the public can follow along with those questions. Just to operationalize that, but also, Donnelly, if there's a mechanism for us to get the names, titles, emails, and phone number, as staff, we can invite them to the call with the call-in information and brief them on how to use the system, just so we can avoid technical difficulties and save time.
Okay, so if each, again, keeping in mind that we are doing the public's business and we want to be transparent, if each member can email me specifically with that first list of people that you've listed today and their names and contact information, we'll start a spreadsheet, and then we'll be able to have everybody already in the spreadsheet. So that it'll be easy for the staff to invite them on whatever day we may be inviting them, whether we're inviting 6 or 10 or all of them over the course of the next couple of weeks. Okay? So if everybody could make that happen before Thursday's meeting, I would much appreciate it.
Donnelly, this is Nancy Merrill. It just dawned on me looking at this list that nobody is talking to any of the arts organizations.
Jim got the music hall, and I actually was going to reach out to the Palace Theater.
Oh, wonderful.
The ED of that is on my board of directors. I should also say my plan was to also reach out to the credit union, although I know we probably have a contact within the banking community. I think credit unions and some of the smaller groups might have something to add. I was also going to reach out to some of the smaller independent businesses, chiropractors' offices that have closed, dentist offices, eye doctors, optometrists versus ophthalmologists. So, I'll get my list out there for the spreadsheet too, but I would agree. And I think come Thursday, once all of this has settled with us over today and tomorrow and people see the list, I think others will happen just like this, Nancy. It'll be like, oh, you know who we missed? And we can keep doing this work ongoing, you know?
Great.
All right. Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh, and the private colleges and universities, I mentioned that earlier, but I do intend to reach out there as well. Okay.
Donnelly. Oh, sorry.
Oh, we have a few questions or hands raised, I should say. We have Al Letizio Jr. Go ahead, Al.
Thank you. Donnelly, as we reach out to folks here, we're going to need to have this the draft of questions and the instructions and everything we talked about in place. So I know everyone's busy with a lot to do here, but is there a sense of
I'll have it
that
to you tomorrow. I'll have it to you later than tomorrow.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Donnelly, we have a hand raised from Nancy Merrill.
Hi, Nancy. Long time.
I already asked the question.
See how quick and efficient she is, Joe?
There we go.
And we have, and I apologize to everyone, the hand raised, there can be a few moment delay, so we apologize. Bill Ardinger also had his hand raised.
Thank you, Joe, and Donnelly. I was, in listening to this, I think the point that was raised about giving people lead time is very valid. We're asking them to work with us to provide more information in a manner that will allow us to chronicle and make public information that we're considering from every sector and from every area of our economy, from nonprofit to for-profit to governmental sectors. And I think that it is fair to say that maybe when we look towards Tuesday, which is our first day, that as you look at the list, and you know, it may be that we need to authorize you to reach out with the quest, or we will all reach out, but at some point a final, maybe on Thursday we finalize it, but that we look towards the Tuesday for those associations or leading government organizations like BFA to be a first one to start. I know that they're already thinking with professional staff about what they're going to present because they've done it to LAB. On Friday, for example, we have, you know, meals, hospital and lodging, hotel and lodging. We've had hospital association. BFA is speaking, and maybe we try and focus on those, you know, better staffed organizations for the first part of the presentation, which starts coming on Tuesday, and that will allow us to sequence it in a way that lets people get their work done in a way that dovetails with how the committee's hoping to collect information. So that's all I wanted to jump in to say.
That sounds like a plan. So when each of you send me your list with affiliation, name, contact information, both the phone number and an email, if you have somebody on your list, as Bill just demonstrated, that will be, you think, easily able to be ready on Tuesday with questions to us ahead of time, as Joe described, so that we can make it part of a meeting packet that's up there for the public, please indicate that on the email that you send me, because we can make a notation on the spreadsheet, which might make it easier for us to narrow down. Okay, anybody, anything relative to any of that we've discussed thus far?
Sorry, Donnelly, we have just a hand raised by Jim Jalbert.
Donnelly, you answered the question. I was looking for the revised questionnaire to get out to my contacts.
Great.
Thanks.
Thank you. Oh, you're welcome.
We have a hand raised by Dean Kristen.
I think I'm okay. I think my understanding is we will be getting the revised questionnaire soon, which we will get out. And I understand you want the contact information tomorrow, so I think I understand what we're doing next. I'm okay.
Thanks,
Dean. We have a hand raised from Scott Mason.
I didn't hear anybody talk about construction, and I would think that would be one of our big industries.
Ah, you're right. Interesting. Okay.
This is Dean. I was going to ask our folks to sort of touch at least a little bit on the housing side of construction, but obviously it doesn't really touch on the broader issue of commercial development.
Well, I'd be happy to reach out to the...
Sorry.
Go ahead. I didn't hear who was talking. Thank you, Dean. Who else?
This is Al.
Go ahead.
All right, Al, go.
Okay, I was gonna. It sounds like a lot of people have contacts here, but I have someone in the construction industry who I can tag in if that's needed, unless someone has. I have someone who owns a New Hampshire construction firm, mid-sized construction company, who could provide some input if that would be of value.
Sounds great. Anybody that knows somebody, I'm looking across the street from my office at the construction underway in one of my child care centers. So anybody that has somebody, small, big, or in between, or an independent contractor who does construction that runs his own business, you know, so that would be very helpful. Thanks for bringing it up, Scott. Okay, anybody else in Section 4 that wants to weigh in on anything we've discussed relative to that item? Okay, sounds like we have a good plan in place. Under number 5, is there other business that we have not yet discussed that people would like to discuss? Okay, and item 6, our next meeting Thursday, just a friendly reminder that it's at 2 o'clock instead of 1 o'clock. Easy way to remember is Tuesday comes before Thursday, so Tuesdays are 1 and Thursdays are 2, for those of you that need simple ways to remember those types of things. And the expectation for Thursday's agenda is growing based on today's conversation. But when putting this agenda together, the two items that I wanted to make sure were on there is a presentation from the Gopher staff regarding the scope of available state resources. I'm sure that, again, based on today's conversation, their presentation may grow a little bit. Had I not misstepped immediately today on my first day, we were setting the stage, right? So the first conversation today was really having a better, clearer understanding of our purpose, which Bill has provided. And then on Thursday, a sense of what Gopher is doing and what's available. I think will get us off on the right track for the meetings to come. And then discussing the format for presentations, I'd like to do that on Thursday. We'll all have a little time to think about that. And then on Thursday, we can maybe put our arms around it and some framework by how we'll receive that information. So is there anybody that wants to weigh in?
Donnelly, we have a hand raised from Scott Mason.
Scott?
Hi, Donnelly. You had spoken about trying to get our questions onto a web page where people can go to the web page and fill it out and respond that way in a written format to us. I think making sure that everybody has an opportunity to respond to us is very important. And I don't know how long it'll be until that web page is up, but what I was wondering is can we get those questions posted so that someone can go and read them and make a written response and an address on where to send them so that that could be done within 24 to 48 hours?
Well, that I don't disagree that it would be good to do that. I think I don't think it's a problem if we at least wait till Thursday to try to determine a comprehensive answer to that. In the meantime, our minutes, you know, when our minutes get posted, the questions will be included in the posting of the minutes so that people have an opportunity to see them and think about them. But I'll see what we can get for answers relative to that question specifically for our Thursday discussion.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else? Okay, well, we did pretty well today, I think, staying in a reasonable time frame and accomplishing a lot. I really do very much appreciate it, and I am happy to have any of you contact me should you have questions or ideas or things that you want on the agenda. And in the meantime, I will wait to get before the end of the day tomorrow all your contact names and information that we discussed, and I will get back to you the questions as we discussed with their tweaking so that we can get our work started. Thank you, everybody. I very, very, very much appreciate your valuable time.
Thanks, Donna.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome. All right, everybody, take care.
Bye.
And this concludes a duly noticed meeting for the Stakeholder Advisory Board. Looking at the time, It is 2:55 p.m., and the recording will end.